Mass. The Church commences her chants with one to the glory of the holy name of Jesus, outraged as it is on this day by them that plot his death. This name, which was given him by heaven and signifies that he is our Savior, is now being blasphemed by his enemies. In a few hours, their crime will bring its full meaning before us, for his death will have worked the salvation of the world. Introit. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, because the Lord became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore the Lord Jesus Christ is in the glory of God the Father. O Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry come unto thee. In the first collect, the Church acknowledges to God that her children have sinned against him, but she reminds him of the passion endured for their sake by his only begotten Son, and this revives her hope. Let us pray. Let us kneel down. Stand up again. Grant, we beseech thee, O Almighty God, that we who continually are punished for our excesses may be delivered by the passion of thy only begotten Son. Lesson from Isaiah the Prophet, chapters 62 and 63. Thus saith the Lord God, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, thy Savior cometh. Behold, his reward is with him. Who is this that cometh from Edom, with dyed garments from Bosra? This beautiful one in his robe, walking in the greatness of his strength. I, that speak justice, and am a defender to save. Why then is thy apparel red, and thy garments like theirs that tread in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the Gentiles there is not a man with me. I have trampled on them in my indignation, and have trodden them down in my wrath, and their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my apparel. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, the year of my redemption is come. I looked about, and there was none to help. I sought, and there was none to give aid. And my own arm hath saved for me, and my indignation itself hath helped me. And I have trodden down the people in my wrath, and have made them drunk in my indignation, and have brought down their strength to the earth. I will remember the tender mercies of the Lord, the praise of the Lord, for all the things that the Lord hath bestowed on us. How terrible is this our defender, who tramples his enemies beneath his feet, as they that tread in the winepress, so that their blood is sprinkled upon his garments. But is not this the fittest time for us to proclaim his power, now that he is being treated with ignominy and sold to his enemies by one of his disciples? These humiliations will soon pass away. He will rise in glory, and his might will be shown by the chastisements wherewith he will crush them that now persecute him. Jerusalem will stone them that shall preach in his name. She will be a cruel stepmother to those true Israelites, who, docile to the teaching of the prophets, have recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah. The synagogue will seek to stifle the church in her infancy, but no sooner shall the church, shaking the dust from her feet, turn from Jerusalem to the Gentiles, then the vengeance of Christ will fall on the city that bought, betrayed, and crucified him. Her citizens will have to pay dearly for these crimes. We learn from the Jewish historian Josephus, who was an eyewitness to the siege, that the fire which was raging in one of the streets was quenched by the torrents of their blood. Thus were fulfilled the threats pronounced by our Lord against this faithless city as he sat on Mount Olivet the day after his triumphant entry. And yet, The destruction of Jerusalem was but a faint image of the terrible destruction which is to befall the world at the last day. Jesus, who is now despised and insulted by sinners, will then appear on the clouds of heaven, and reparation will be made for all these outrages. Now he suffers himself to be betrayed, scoffed at, and spit upon. But when the day of vengeance is come, happy they that have served him, and have compassionated with him in his humiliations and sufferings. Woe to them that have treated him with contempt. Woe to those who, not content with refusing to bear his yoke, have led others to rebel against him. For he is king. He came into this world that he might reign over it. And they that despise his mercy shall not escape his justice. The gradual, which immediately follows upon this sublime passage from Isaiah, is a prayer addressed by Jesus to his eternal Father. The words are taken from one of the Psalms. Gradual. Turn not away thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in even unto my soul. I stick fast in the mire of the deep, and there is no sure standing. In the second collect, the Church again reminds our Heavenly Father of the death which His Divine Son deigned to suffer in order to set us free from the yoke of Satan. She prays that we may have a share in the glorious resurrection of this, our Redeemer. Collect. O God, who wouldst have thy Son suffer on the cross, to deliver us from the power of the enemy, grant that we, thy servants, may obtain the grace of his resurrection. Epistle. Lesson from Isaiah the Prophet, Chapter 53. In those days Isaiah said, Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And he shall grow up as a tender plant before him, and as a root out of a thirsty ground. There is no beauty in him, nor comeliness. And we have seen him, and there was no sightliness that we should be desirous of him. Despised, and the most abject of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with infirmity. And his look was, as it were, hidden and despised. Whereupon we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our infirmities, and carried our sorrows. And we have thought him, as it were, a leper, and as one struck by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our iniquities, he was bruised for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, every one hath turned aside into his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was offered because it was his own will, and he opened not his mouth. He shall be led as a sheep to the slaughter, and shall be dumb as a lamb before his shearer, and he shall not open his mouth. He was taken away from distress and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? Because he is cut off out of the land of the living. For the wickedness of my people have I struck him. And he shall give the ungodly for his burial, and the rich for his death. Because he hath done no iniquity, neither was there deceit in his mouth. And the Lord was pleased to bruise him in infirmity. If he shall lay down his life for sin, he shall see a long-lived seed, and the will of the Lord shall be prosperous in his hand. Because his soul hath labored, he shall see and be filled. By his knowledge shall this my just servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I distribute to him very many, and he shall divide the spoils of the strong, because he hath delivered his soul unto death, and was reputed with the wicked. and he hath borne the sins of many, and hath prayed for the transgressors. Again, it is Isaias that instructs us, not indeed upon the triumph which our Emmanuel is to win over his enemies, but upon the sufferings of the man of sorrows. So explicit is his description of our Lord's passion, that the Holy Fathers have called him the fifth evangelist. What could be more sublimely plaintive than the language here used by the son of Amos? And we, after hearing both the Old and New Testament upon the sufferings which Jesus went through for our sins, how shall we sufficiently love this dear Redeemer, who bore our infirmities and carried our sorrows, so as to look as a leper, and as one struck by God and afflicted? We are healed by his bruises. O heavenly Physician, who takes upon himself the sufferings of those he comes to cure. But not only was he bruised for our sins, he was also slaughtered as a lamb. And this not merely as a victim submitting to the inflexible will of his Father, who hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all, but, as the prophet here assures us, because it was his own will. His love for us, as well as his submission to his Father, led him to the great sacrifice. Observe, too, how he refuses to defend himself before Pilate, who could so easily deliver him from his enemies. He shall be dumb as a lamb before his shearers, and he shall not open his mouth. Let us love and adore this divine silence, which works our salvation. Let us not pass over an iota of the devotedness which Jesus shows us, a devotedness which never could have existed, save in the heart of a God. Oh, how much he has loved us, his children, the purchase of his blood, his seed, as the prophet here calls us. O holy Church, thou long-lived seed of Jesus, who laid down his life, thou art dear to him, for he bought thee at a great price. Faithful souls, give him love for love. Sinners, be converted to this your Savior. His blood will restore you to life, for if we have all gone astray like sheep, remember what is added. The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. There is no sinner, however great may be his crimes, there is no heretic or infidel who has not his share in this precious blood, whose infinite merit is such that it could redeem a million worlds more guilty even than our own. The tract which follows this lesson is taken from Psalm 101, in which the royal prophet expresses the sufferings of body and mind endured by Jesus in his human nature. Tract. Hear, O Lord, my prayer, and let my cry come unto thee. Turn not away thy face from me, in the day when I am in trouble, incline thine ear to me. In what day soever I shall call upon thee, hear me speedily. For my days are vanished like smoke, and my bones are as if they were fried in a frying pan. I am smitten as grass, and my heart is withered, because I forgot to eat my bread. Thou, O Lord, arising, wilt have mercy on Zion, for the time to have mercy on her is come. The Church then gives us the history of the Passion according to St. Luke. This evangelist mentions several details not given by Saints Matthew and Mark, which will assist us to a fuller understanding of the divine mystery of the sufferings and sacrifice of the man-God. The Passion and Gospel. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke, chapters 12 and 13. At that time, the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Pasch, was at hand. and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might put Jesus to death. But they feared the people. And Satan entered into Judas, who was surnamed Iscariot, one of the 12. And he went and discoursed with the chief priests and the magistrates, how he might betray him to them. And they were glad, and covenanted to give him money. And he promised, and he sought opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude. And the day of the unleavened bread came, on which it was necessary that the Pasch should be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare for us the Pasch, that we may eat." But they said, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, as you go into the city, there shall meet you a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and you shall say to the good man of the house, 'The master saith to thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I may eat the Pasch with my disciples?' And he will show you a large dining room furnished, and there prepare." And they going found as he had said to them, and made ready the Pasch. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Pasch with you before I suffer. For I say to you, that from this time I will not eat it, till it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And having taken the chalice, he gave thanks and said, "Take and divide it among you. For I say to you that I will not drink of the fruit of the vine till the kingdom of God come." And taking bread, he gave thanks, and brake, and gave to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for a commemoration of me." In like manner, the chalice also, after he had supped, saying, "This is the chalice, the New Testament in my blood, which shall be shed for you. But yet, behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And the Son of Man indeed goeth, according to that which is determined. But yet, woe to that man by whom he shall be betrayed." And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife amongst them, which of them should seem to be greater. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and they that have power over them are called beneficent. But you, not so. For he that is the greater among you, let him become as the younger, and he that is the leader, as he that serveth. For which is greater, he that sitteth at table, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at table? But I am in the midst of you as he that serveth, and you are they who have continued with me in my temptations. And I dispose to you, as my Father hath disposed to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and may sit upon thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And thou, being once converted, confirm thy brethren." Who said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And he said, "I say to thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, till thou thrice deniest that thou knowest me." And he said to them, "When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, did you want anything?" But they said, "Nothing." Then said he unto them, "But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise a scrip, and he that hath not, let him sell his coat and buy a sword. For I say to you, that this that is written must yet be fulfilled in me. And with the wicked was he reckoned, for the things concerning me have an end. But they said, Lord, here are two swords. And he said to them, It is enough. And going out, he went according to his custom to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was come to the place, he said to them, Pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn away from them a stone's cast. And kneeling down, he prayed, saying, Father, if thou wilt, remove this chalice from me. But yet not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed the longer, and his sweat became as drops of blood trickling down upon the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, Why sleep you? Arise, pray, lest you enter into temptation. As he was yet speaking, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near to Jesus for to kiss him. And Jesus said to him, Judas, dost thou betray the Son of Man with a kiss? And they that were about him, seeing what would follow, said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answering said, Suffer ye thus far. And when he had touched his ear, he healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and magistrates of the temple, and the ancients that were come unto him, Are you come out, as it were against a thief, with swords and clubs? When I was daily with you in the temple, you did not stretch forth your hands against me. But this is your hour, and the power of darkness. And apprehending him, they led him to the high priest's house. But Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were sitting about it, Peter was in the midst of them, whom, when a certain servant maid had seen sitting at the light, and had earnestly beheld him, she said, This man also was with him. But he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another seeing him said, Thou also art one of them. But Peter said, O man, I am not. And after the space, as it were, of 1 hour, another certain man affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this man was also with him, for he is also a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately as he was yet speaking, the cock crew. And the Lord, turning, looked on Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, as he had said, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter, going out, wept bitterly. And the men that held him mocked him and struck him. And they blindfolded him and smote his face. And they asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that struck thee? And blaspheming many other things they said against him. And as soon as it was day, the ancients of the people and the chief priests and scribes came together, and they brought him into their council, saying, If thou be the Christ, tell us. And he saith to them, If I shall tell you, you will not believe me. And if I shall also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. But hereafter the Son of Man shall be sitting on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? Who said, You say that I am. And they said, What need we any further testimony? For we ourselves have heard it from his own mouth. And the whole multitude of them rising up, led him away to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We have found this man perverting our nation, and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he is Christ the King. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the King of the Jews? But he answering said, Thou sayest it. But Pilate said to the chief priests and to the multitude, I find no cause in this man. But they were more earnest, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. But Pilate, hearing Galilee, asked if the man were of Galilee. And when he understood that he was of Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him away to Herod, who was also himself at Jerusalem in those days. And Herod, seeing Jesus, was very glad, for he was desirous of a long time to see him, because he had heard many things of him. And he hoped to see some sign wrought by him. And he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood by, earnestly accusing him. And Herod, with his army, set him at naught and mocked him, putting on him a white garment, and sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate were made friends that same day, for before they were enemies one to another. Then Pilate, calling together the chief priests and the magistrates and the people, said to them, You have presented unto me this man, as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, find no cause in this man, in those things wherein you accuse him. No, nor Herod neither. For I sent you to him, and behold, nothing worthy of death is done to him. I will chastise him therefore and release him. Now of necessity he was to release unto them one upon the feast day. But the whole multitude together cried out, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who, for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison. And Pilate again spoke to them, desiring to release Jesus. But they cried again, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said to them the third time, Why, what evil hath this man done? I find no cause of death in him. I will chastise him therefore and let him go. But they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and their voices prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him who for murder and sedition had been cast into prison, whom they had desired. But Jesus he delivered up to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold of one Simon of Cyrene, coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him to carry after Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women, who bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not over me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days shall come, wherein they will say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that have not borne, and the paps that have not given suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall upon us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if in the green wood they do these things, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him there, and the robbers, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But they, dividing his garments, cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the elect of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And there was also a superscription written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of those robbers who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Neither dost thou fear God, seeing thou art under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done no evil. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou shalt come into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Amen, I say to thee, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was almost the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And saying this, he gave up the ghost. Here a pause is made, as on Palm Sunday. All kneel down, and if such be the custom of the place, they prostrate and kiss the ground. Now the centurion, seeing what was done, glorified God, saying, Indeed, this was a just man. And all the multitude of them that were come together to that sight, and saw the things that were done, returned striking their breasts. And all his acquaintance, and the women that had followed him from Galilee, stood afar off, beholding these things. Here the deacon offers the incense to the priest, that he may bless it. And having himself received a blessing, he concludes the history of the Passion, observing the ceremonies used for singing the Gospel at High Mass. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, who was a counselor, a good and just man. The same had not consented to their counsel and doings. Of Arimathea, a city of Judea, who also himself looked for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And taking him down, he wrapped him in fine linen and laid him in a sepulchre that was hewed in stone, wherein never yet any man had been laid. The words of the offertory are those of Jesus, suppliantly beseeching his eternal Father not to turn away his face from his own Son, who is a prey to every suffering, both of body and mind. Offertory. Hear, O Lord, my prayer, and let my cry come to thee. Turn not away thy face from me. In the secret, the Church prays that we may have a tender devotion for the holy sacrifice of the Mass, in which the Passion of our Savior is daily commemorated. Secret. Accept, O Lord, we beseech thee, the offerings we have made, and mercifully grant that we may receive, with pious sentiments, what we celebrate in the mystery of the Passion of our Lord. The Church takes her communion anthem from the same psalm, which supplied her with the tract and offertory, namely, Psalm 101. Communion. I mingled my drink with weeping, for having lifted me up, thou hast thrown me down, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, endurest forever. Thou shalt arise and have mercy on Zion, because the time to have mercy on her is come. The death of Jesus should be to us an unceasing motive for confidence in the divine mercy. This confidence is one of the first conditions of our salvation. The Church asks it for us in the post-communion. Post-communion. Grant, O Almighty God, that we may have a lively hope that thou hast given us eternal life by the temporal death of thy Son, represented in these adorable mysteries. Let us pray. Bow down your heads to God. Look down, O Lord, we beseech thee, on this thy family, for which our Lord Jesus Christ hesitated not to be delivered into the hands of wicked men, and undergo the punishment of the cross.